Just a quick note, this originally launched in 2018, and it is originally episode 15.
All right, so we're talking today with Dr. Stephen Harvey, and this podcast actually stemmed from Twitter. I literally saw this article pop up on Twitter and looked at the topic, and guess what? It's about Twitter use and physical education. So props to Kevin Richards for the tweet. And so today we're taking a jump into the world of social media on the podcast. We have Dr. Stephen Harvey here from Ohio University, and we are here to discuss his article titled An Investigation into the Reasons Physical Education Professionals Use Twitter. It was just published in 2018 in Journal of Teaching and Physical Education. So welcome to the podcast, and thanks for taking the time to chat about your paper.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's truly a pleasure. I also want to say thanks to Dr. Brendan Heinemann, who is also on the paper, for his significant help in getting the study completed, written, and published.
Awesome. So, Twitter. I personally dragged my feet for a long time, avoided jumping in it. But after the summer, I feel like it's been such a great move for me professionally, and I learn every day from it. And I'm also connecting with scholars like you, who I've literally seen you present, and we've never really had these big conversations, but I see you active on Twitter, and I feel like a lot of people are having these conversations. So let's get into this article. How is social media and technology in general being tracked in the research? What do we know?
Well, in terms of educators using Twitter, there's a big world out there, I guess. So since we've had Web 2.0 technologies like Twitter, they allow education professionals, as you say, to engage in immediate conversations, share ideas, resources, that kind of thing, with the ultimate aim that if we make ourselves better, we make the students learn more in our classroom. In education, more broadly, there's a number of studies on Twitter use, and that there's ones emerging that show that Twitter can help support educational practices. For example, you know, improving engagement of students in class and grades, boosting collaborative learning and self-confidence in students, encouraging informal learning outside of the classroom, you know, after the formal class meetings, encouraging participation in the class, especially where in some higher ed contexts, they've done some research looking at how it improves in-class engagement from large groups. And then other prior research indicates that obviously in-service teachers use Twitter to support professional growth, you know, when they move away from formal teacher education programs and are in the big wide world. And then, you know, because a lot, especially in the States, and our study found this, you know, there's isolation. And so you end up on a bit of an island. So you want to connect with people and keep yourself vibrant. So those are the main sort of things that we know. And it helps us get access to people like researchers or other teachers who have expertise in areas that we would never come across if we don't go to their conferences or other things. So that's kind of a summary. Carpenter and Krutger, who we sort of followed a bit of their research in what we did here, but they said that really there's three main forms: communication, class activities, and professional development and learning. And they're the three reasons teachers tend to use Twitter.
Awesome. And that goes into the pedagogies of technology framework. Is that correct?
Well, we kind of massaged our work into that framework. Yes, I think it's a relatively simple framework, one that's easy to understand. Kathy Armour was the lead developer of the framework initially, but it really puts learning or pedagogy, sorry, into sort of three kind of bins or boxes or whatever. So one is teachers teaching. One is learners and their learning, and the other one is then how to utilize your knowledge about the content in particular contexts. So like high school versus elementary school, that kind of idea, urban, rural school, you know, that kind of thing.
Awesome. And so you have a really great literature review here. I learned a lot about Twitter here, but so you discuss some positive applications and also some pitfalls of Twitter use by professionals. Can you give us some highlights of what the research says about Twitter use in PE?
Well, the first major statement I guess we should say is that it's very much an emerging body. If you think it's kind of new in education more broadly, and the social media research in PE is pretty paltry, really, to be fair. But if we follow the kind of idea of communication, class activities, and professional development learning we talked about earlier, Heather Irwin is a professor at University of Kentucky. She noted that social media platforms do offer an inexpensive form of communication and provide PE professionals with a space to advocate for the profession. But obviously, like all of us, you know, we need to watch what we say and do in these social media spaces and be accountable for them. So that was kind of a paper she put out in Strategies. Then in terms of classroom activities, we don't really know a lot. There was the Pedagogies of Digital Technologies book done by Casey and their authors. And Antonio Calderon and colleagues had a paper in that. And they identified some challenges of embedding Twitter into a pre-service teacher course by a professor, which I think was Antonio. And they recognized that Twitter use needed to be grounded in authentic student learning context. So what I think they were saying was you can't just use it like tokenistically. You've really got to use it as a means to support student learning. And then in terms of professional development and learning, this is really where we see some of the bigger emerging trends for the research and bigger positives for professors and you know, pre-service and in-service teachers. So Goodyear and Casey and Kirk did a study that looked at teachers in a community of practice within the same school using Facebook and Twitter outside of their practice within the school, and they found that that gave each other vital emotional support. So sometimes they might not be willing to say something live, but can go on that service and have conversations when there's a bit more time, when you've got your head away from the PE department and things like that, where you can be more rational. We did a study, me, Brendan Heinemann and Shane Pill, and we looked at doing a bit of a Twitter chat to talk about how teachers use game-centered approaches and the information that they've learned about that. And they said that Twitter was a form where they could go in and learn about game-centered approaches and connect with experts. And then Doug Leddy, in the same book, the Pedagogies of Technology book, they had a chapter where they looked at one elementary physical educator who used Twitter. And what they found was that he said that Twitter was a central conduit, really, for other professional learning. So they found out about conferences, they met other teachers that use different models, they found about other versions of technology that they didn't use currently. But one of the things they warned was, and they talked to the teacher about, was always wanting to put your best side onto Twitter. You know, you never want to share your failures, but you always want to share the good stuff, which is fine. So they sort of had a bit of a warning, again, like Irwin, that we should watch what we say and do on Twitter and be introspective about how we use the service.
Right. And so in this paper, you essentially set out to get answers to three research questions. The first one being, what aspects of Twitter do PE professionals find the most valuable? Two, how does PE professionals' use of Twitter impact upon their perceptions of their students' learning? And then the third one was, what levels of professional development and learning have resulted from PE professionals' engagement in Twitter? So how did you go about doing this? Can you explain the methods that you had?
Yeah, so it was really a brainchild idea. I had sat there in the office one day that I read this paper by Jeff Carpenter and Dan Krutka, where they used a survey to explore general educators' use of Twitter and the reasons they use it. So I basically took their survey, and they've done a lot of research about Twitter and social media using surveys of teachers. It's, you know, makes it pretty accessible to do research about Twitter using Twitter. It makes sense, right? So they had a survey that had an informed consent section, a demographic section, a Twitter usage usage section, and then a section eliciting information about how and why the educators use Twitter. So we, or I, initially before I co-opted Brendan here, I sort of put the survey together. What I did is I made a few amendments to some of the later, the Twitter usage section, where I added some more recent social media, things like Voxer, that I also knew that PE teachers access because I was on there myself. And then I also amended some questions because I had some hunches about, they just asked one question about, you know, what are the benefits of using Twitter kind of thing. Whereas I asked, do you think it's impacted your teaching, performance, and say why? Has it impacted your student learning, and say why? So the student learning and teacher was yes, no, and then I asked them to give an example. So I added those, and those were obviously linked to that pedagogy of technology framework with the teachers teaching, learners learning. And then the answers they gave, the qualitative ones, helped us sort of look at that contextual learning. So I put the survey out via Twitter for a period of about a month in late 2016. And it was a Qualtrics survey link, just asking people to post. And I used various hashtags to try and promote it. I tried to promote it, you know, at Twitter chats and things like that. So that's how I sort of collected the data. So I got quantitative data where I asked questions like gender and things like that. And then I got qualitative data when I asked about, well, why do you use it? Please explain.
Right. And so you have, you ended up with about, or you ended up with exactly 251 participants in the study from all over the world. And I think we could go and spend a whole podcast discussing your data analysis section, but let's skip that for now to get to the results. You came up with three themes. Can you explain those to us?
Well, the major sort of themes were around the pedagogies of technology framework that led, you know, to the research questions. I mean, in reality, we did this sort of data analysis mapping, which spat out loads of information to us. And the main things were like students, ideas, teachers, teaching, using, you know, ideas, resources, conferences, you know. So these were some things that it spat back at us. And so when it spat these things back to us, we sort of organized them in that pedagogies of technology framework. What I can do is, like, as an overview, like you say, we had 251 people, 56% male. So it was a pretty even thing. 81% of the participant possessed 6 or more years teaching experience, which we'll come to that in a minute. 50% had a master's degree. 54% said they'd been on Twitter for 3 years or more. You know, most of them saying they've been on there for professional reasons. And we got participants from 25 different countries, although 57% of the participants were US-based, albeit we tried to post at different times for the world. We got more of a sample from the US. So those things you just need to bear in mind when we talk about the results. But so in the teachers and teaching theme, a large proportion of the sample indicated using Twitter to impact their teaching practices. So when we asked that question, 81%, or nearly 82%, said that it impacted their teaching. When we asked them about learning, only 60% said it had impacted their students' learning. So there was a bit of a difference there. So other things they said about teaching was that they accessed the service multiple times a day, that they participated in Twitter chats quite regularly, and they really enjoyed accessing experts and getting different people's perspective. And they felt that it would help them be less isolated in the classroom. And then they also talked a little bit about overcoming financial and time implications for other professional developments, you know. And the old PDL in my pajamas, kind of, I've heard people sort of talk about it. So that was more the teachers and teaching. And then the learners learning, like I say, only a smaller percentage said it impacted student learning. A smaller percentage reported they used Twitter for communication or with class activities than they did for other things like professional development or finding ideas for lessons and things like that. And the idea is that you know, they said they wanted to use it more for class activities, but there were other forms of, you know, technology that was safer, like Google Forms and that kind of thing. But one of the things was they couldn't describe how their use of Twitter shaped their students' learning. So the sort of the 60% thing is, well, how specifically is it impacting? And a lot of people were like, well, we don't really know how it impacts student learning directly. So I think there's a more of an indirect link there, but that's for future research. And then with the knowledge in context idea, there was things like they talked about advocating for the profession. There was a big thing about them sort of back channeling in conferences. So say I go to, you know, there's a lot of local PE conferences on now, or regional ones. So if I go to the Ohio AFID, I'm on there back channeling stuff that's happening, taking little videos, and a lot of them like that kind of thing where they could feel they could be there. And then that then gave them stimulated new ideas for teaching strategies. And, one of the big things is, because a lot of teachers have been on Twitter for a while, there's this notion that they are lurking first and then they get into it. They figure out what it's all about. They pass through the sort of like the exciting phase and the honeymoon phase, and they really find out they can use it. So it's really helps them with the washout. You know, if you think about it, it's 6 or more years, you've done your undergrad, you've gone out and taught for a while, you've done your master's, and then the teachers are searching, well, what's the thing that I can do now? So this really gives them an opportunity to reach out and find other people, to continue that professional development. And then a lot of people said that it was a bit of a conduit for them to get into leading and doing workshops at conferences, building confidence to be able to do that and that kind of thing. So we found out quite a lot just through, you know, one sort of survey, but we need to do a little bit more research to get a little bit more depth in some of the things that people reported.
Right. And so what I'm kind of hearing is that Twitter was a place where PE professionals developed their content and pedagogical knowledge to, in effect, enhance student learning. Am I right here?
Yeah. That was definitely one of the biggest things that some of the criticisms could be, there was a paper on professional development, what we're going to do for PE on Monday kind of thing. And sort of this notion that teachers go for wanting to find ideas just so they can find the next idea for their next class next week. I think that that's been a little bit overcritical to people who are on Twitter. There is a bit of a sense of that. I think the sample that we had are a little bit more discerning than that. And we've done some subsequent interviews, and we're going through that data at the moment. So we've found out that really that there are a lot more of this sample that are incredibly more discerning than that. But the main thing was that people were on there to, you know, make themselves better as a teacher. That was the reason they were on there. And, you know, you go to PE, PD events, you know, which are not really there for physical education professionals. So they felt that this was a way of connecting. If you're an elementary school teacher, you're there on your own in the building. You may be away in the back somewhere, away from people. And I know people could say, well, you could walk to the cafe and have a coffee with another teacher. Why do you need to go on Twitter? But when it's so accessible, people really, find it is sort of like professional development 24/7 kind of thing. So they can guide their own professional development and learning, build a network of people that they build trust in and that kind of thing. And that's important because then obviously it helps with retention of the profession and that kind of thing. Although those are things to be found from future research.
Right. And so you do bring up a disconnect where you say, quote, the fact that many PE professionals could not describe how their use of Twitter shaped their students' learning is somewhat concerning, quote. And I would agree. Can you kind of elaborate on this finding a little bit?
Well, in the paper, we sort of talk about, well, is being on Twitter like a bit of a facade in the sense that, oh, well, I'm doing something to make myself better and look, I've got all these new ideas. But how they sort of package it into a curriculum, that is really impacting student learning. We didn't get a sense that from this study that that was being done. And that's why we want to do a subsequent study to sort of find out a little bit more. I think it's very hard to say that, oh, I take this idea off Twitter, I put it into my classroom, and oh, lo and behold, I've got a 20% increase in student learning. So I think it is very much more tricky when you start talking about student learning, because what are we talking about? Are we talking about student performance over one session, or is it learning over a period of time? And I think there's a lot of factors that go into student learning other than just me getting better. There's the motivation of the student, that, you know, and all these other, you know, the peer relations that you have, the social element in the classroom. So I think learning is a more slippery concept, and I can understand why teachers find it harder to describe. And I actually think that I credit this sample, and I've done some subsequent interviews, is people are quite honest. Well, I'm not sure how it is impacting my student learning, but I'm going to continue because I know I'm getting better as a teacher. So I'm going to, you know, but what we, you know, what we don't want is, you know, but well, what we want is a community where teachers can put themselves out there, like I said earlier, and be more vulnerable and say, oh, I tried this and it didn't work, can anyone help? Rather than, you know, oh, look at me, I'm great, this is amazing, you know, look at what I'm doing, I've learned all this stuff. And that's good too, but having those critical conversations, you know, will really help drive this, I think, in the future.
And I can imagine that being very hard to tease out. Is Twitter helping if I'm trying to look at student learning? It's, you know, but in your last key theme, you discussed the professional communities that were set up through the chats. How did these play out, and what type of PE teachers typically on Twitter?
Well, as I said earlier, with the quantitative, it was really a teacher that I could give a bit of an archetype, someone who's been out there for a while, that has, you know, more than 6 years experience, and it might be way longer than that. We did have some people who were, you know, 25, 40 years into their teaching career, who you would say, oh, they're, you know, people who we probably wouldn't expect to be on Twitter, but they've turned to it because they can see the value of it. But it's kind of like the people, when teachers feel they've been washed out of their teacher education program, that's the term we use, you know, maybe they look for, well, what other ways can I get some professional development? So they are a little bit older, the teachers, where maybe they've come a little bit more disconnected from others. They're maybe not as likely to go to conferences as much, you know, that kind of thing. So those are people who are looking for new ideas, new stimuli, and things like that. The other thing is, like, early career teachers, they're inundated, right, with, you know, that, oh, you have to be using the latest technology, you have to be doing stuff from your teacher education practice. Look, there's all these wonderful models you can use. So they probably don't need Twitter as much because they're still trying to bed themselves in with all the stuff they've learned in teacher education, where more experienced teachers, you know, are there because they feel as though they've got something to give back, you know, or they've still got stuff to learn and they feel that they can learn it in these safe spaces. We did some interviews with, like I say, with this group, and one person, I was reading their data today, and they were saying, well, you know, we are on Twitter with some very, very honorable human beings, like some people who would run through the wall for you. You know, the PE community is very supportive, is what they were saying. So this is the type of, you know, thing that we're doing. There's a lot of teachers of the year on Twitter. There's a lot of nationally board certified teachers on Twitter. And again, it's not people, I don't think, are there to tell everyone how wonderful they are. I think they're people that really want to give back to the profession and continue to grow themselves, because they're just that type of people, you know, where they want to be getting better at their job every single day.
And I think people who are in Twitter communities in general and physical education can really relate to that. I mean, that's how we connected and we're doing this. So
yeah,
it's been great. So do you have any concluding thoughts that you'd like to share? Is Twitter the wave of the future? Is this some line of research that you're going to continue doing?
Well, I think it is. Well, I am, and it is a way for the future. I think one thing on that last point is just that Gleddy talked about in some of their stuff is, and Robson's talked about in some research, is maybe be reflexive about the way you use Twitter and think about, am I being inclusive? Because if you're bombarding people with the next best thing all the time, or you're being overly critical of people, it might turn people off engaging in these spaces. And we still want to, you know, be vulnerable ourselves, even though we might be a leader in the field. So we still need to have, like I said, be discerning in what we do. So in terms of like conclusions, we, you know, Twitter is an accessible, convenient form of professional development and learning. We have the power through that to communicate with a wide range of people to improve professional practice. We have a place to advocate for the profession. And so it's very important that we do put out good stuff on Twitter and show best practices, but also be critical about the stuff that's out there, but do that in a positive way. You know, so those are some things. So, but we need to constantly check how we're being shaped by the service and how the service is shaping us, you know, so that we offer, you know, good service. In terms of current research, we're doing a study, like I say, on going back to this sample. We've interviewed about 50 people, again, from around the world, multiple continents, non-English speaking. You know, so we've got a lot of good perspectives from people about why they use Twitter, and more depth in terms of the interviews and things like that. So we're coding those as we speak. So watch this space.
I really appreciate your time. We're going to link to your article in the notes of the podcast. And since we are talking about Twitter, where can people find you on Twitter and social media?
Yep, people. So I'm DR, so Dr. Stephen with a PH Harvey, so all together. So that's me on Twitter, so at Dr. Stephen Harvey. Email is harveys3@ohio.edu. And then I have a webpage. It's a Weebly one, so drstephenharvey.weebly.com. And then if you are on Voxer, I'm SHARVE7402.
Awesome. And we'll put those in the notes as well. And thank you so much for your time, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you.
If you're still listening, you're probably really into health and physical education. So I'm going to use this opportunity to pitch our master's program to you if you don't have your master's degree yet. Our 100% online master's degree program we offer at George Mason is affordable. You can do it while teaching, and it's high quality. Mason was listed as one of the top 50 universities under 50 years old in the world. Our education department was ranked in the top 10 nationally for the online master's degree program in curriculum and instruction. The master's degree revolves around your teaching. So you'll use assignments from the classes to immediately apply research and best practices to your classes. You'll be part of a tight-knit cohort of health and physical education professionals who are passionate about teaching. You're also going to get an opportunity to interact with students in other content areas. So if you're interested, you can email me, look me up on Twitter, or you can go on the hpewebsite.com under Study With Us and watch a video that I've made.